All right, you're live in the arms of McGlenn.
And John.
Woo! And our new show producer, Ryan.
Yeah. How's it going?
Now, Ryan's been on the show with us before, and Dave is not gone, so nobody... Where's his hand? There's Dave's hand.
Dave's weird.
Dave has some obligations he has to start taking care of on Monday. No big deal, so we're just switching over to... Ryan is going to be our new sound guy, but, you know, Dave will still be here and helping out and all that kind of stuff, so... Yeah. Don't shed any tears. Don't cry for Dave, Argentina.
Don't cry for me.
Dave will still be here on and off, so... Oh, man. What a long... We have 2 freaking weeks of stuff to talk about.
Oh, God, yeah, we do.
So first of all, patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show and supporting what we do. We're really proud of our patrons and the involvement that you guys have with the show. We got – shit, it's March again. It's time for a March giveaway. Cool. We got a March giveaway.
We know what it is.
We do know what it is?
Yeah. Riker.
Oh, yeah. Is he stocking that?
I think he said he was.
Okay, cool. So Riker – yeah, a Riker nylon gear is going to give us an AFAC, one of our ankle first aid kits that we love so much. They're going to give us one of those, and if they don't stock it, we will, right? One way or another, a stocked AFAC will be going out to a patron for our monthly giveaway in March.
He said he'll do any color AFAC and then their med kit fillers.
Okay, cool. So any color that they have, and then they'll stock it with whatever it is that they stock it with, which is good stuff because they know what they're doing. So... Man, we'll have to come up with the details on that. I totally forgot.
He came up with it. This is why I said
Oh, okay. He's got it.
They have to draw.
Oh, we're drawing again?
Yeah, drawing. Everybody likes drawing.
Man.
It's great.
Okay, drawing.
So, contest with people. They have to draw both Glenn and John as their spirit animal.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Okay. Then there's more. They have to be, you guys have to be drawn as your spirit animal fighting about due process.
Okay. Walrus and I don't know. I'm super curious to see what people think my spirit animal is gonna be.
I don't know, man. Hot Pocket.
Fuck you. Fucking Reese's Pieces, bro. 1 pound bag.
1 pound bag of smashed assholes with all the good ones pulled out.
There you go. Well, this is gonna be weird.
All right, so. So the contest from Riker Nylon Gear, thanks, Mike, is going to be to draw. And remember, Photoshop, whatever.
Some type of drawing.
Coloring. Right? We've had people trace. So here's what happened last time. We had some people get upset, okay, because we didn't select the greatest artistic ability, but rather the most unique situation. Guys, when have we ever... done reasonable things on the show. We're not going
to look like art critics. What leads you to believe that's a thing we do in our lives?
So here's the deal. It is up to you to determine how you want to interpret us as our spirit animals. All right. Me and John as our spirit animals arguing about due process. All right. Which was a show from a few weeks ago. Winner of that gets a stocked ankle first aid kit, courtesy of Riker Nylon Gear.
That sounds amazing.
That's awesome. It's a great. That's a good deal.
I feel like
that's a good prize.
I feel like some of these drawings are getting printed out and framed and put up. Yeah. For sure.
We have several. We have stickers and framed pictures in here.
Really, this is our way of decorating.
This is our way of decorating.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
Okay. Well, it's the 11th, right? We only have 3 other shows on.
First, you can do it on the 1st of April.
Yeah.
So let's do this. The deadline is going to be.
31 March.
No, let's make it the 25th of March, and then we'll announce it on the 1st of March. So the deadline will be...
Or you mean the 1st of April.
Midnight. Yeah, that's it. deadline will be the midnight on the 25th of March.
Sweet.
All right? Midnight, 25th of March. That's the deadline for this contest. Send your entries in via Patreon or...
Email
info@trainingaz.com, or you can send them via Instagram. That worked okay last time. People did that. Either way, get them over to us, right? Make sure they're here to us by November midnight. I don't know why I fucking said November. Don't worry about it. Midnight of the 25th.
Did a little bump that this morning.
Jeez. Probably should have, apparently.
Yeah,
so
apparently.
So there you go. All right, and then we'll announce the winners on the show on the 1st. So
of April.
Of April. All right, I got to make a note of this so I don't freaking forget. All right, Excellent. All right. If you are if you're an independence training student, thank you so much for all that you do with us and that you have done with us and the support you've given us. Make sure if you're on Facebook, you jump on our alumni group. We're putting a lot of other video content.
Well, dude, there's some great stuff on there. Actually,
there's tons of our students who are actually just getting really involved and posting good original content. So I like it.
I actually got asked for clarification on one of our shows on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the due process show.
Oh, God. So there you go. But yeah, if you're on Facebook, jump on the alumni group. A lot of good stuff getting put up on that group. So, you know, get on there, request to join. Make sure you put, if we aren't going to recognize your name because you don't train with us a lot, make sure that you put your, you know, the last class that you attended. There is a question when you sign up. All right. All right. I had the chance last week to visit our nation's capital. I really enjoyed my time there. It was specifically for work. We went there for training. Which was great. It was a great training opportunity. Spent 2.5 days doing training stuff. It was great, but got some downtime. You know, it's always interesting when you get the chance to go around because basically where I was working was right next to the Capitol, and then where I was staying was just very short distance away from Lincoln Memorial. So basically on each end of the National Mall. So I just was constantly kind of back and forth across all the different monuments, went and saw everything I could possibly fit into the limited amount of time I did have to actually go around and look at things. But it's always just a great reminder of, you know, the history of our country and the sacrifices that have been made. And the original ideas behind what the founding fathers really wanted our country to be. And sometimes as I'm walking around all these different memorials and I'm reading the words of Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and all that, and I'm going and looking at the original Constitution and the original Declaration of Independence and all that, I'm just thinking, like, do politicians ever come here?
No.
Do they ever come here and read these words? They must not. Like, government officials must actually not go there. I mean, I didn't see anyone. I was there, that's for sure. And some of those memorials I went back to several times. I went back to the Lincoln Memorial several times, different times of the day to experience that because I'm a big fan of Abraham Lincoln. And, yeah, I don't think they ever go there and read those words because there's some pretty profound stuff that's getting said. You know, over at the Jefferson Memorial, Thomas Jefferson, definitely one of my guys I look up to, so to speak, in how he ran his life. I know there was some controversy in his life. Hey, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs, people, you know. But again, I'm reading his words that are like right there in the memorial. You don't have to go very far to see him. And I'm like, dude, we are such a far cry from what these guys really intended. So it's interesting. But if you ever have the chance to go back there, obviously I recommend it. Had a really great opportunity at the Vietnam Memorial. My father hasn't been to D.C. since slightly after he came back from Vietnam. And obviously there was no memorial. So he has never been back there to actually see the physical wall. And so it was really fun because I got to do a video chat with him. Oh, and I got cool. there. I landed early in the morning and went, checked in my hotel, went straight over to the memorial, which is not a far walk from my hotel. And went straight there, called my dad. It was pretty early back here in Arizona, but I called him and I'm like, hey, man, I'm here and there's no one else here so I can put you on chat without being, you know, disruptive or disrespectful or anything. I'm going to put you on this video chat and let's find the names. And I'd been with my dad to the traveling wall. Mm-hmm. You know, they have this Vietnam memorial wall that travels around, but it's very, very small. And you can kind of go see the names and stuff, but to actually be there and it was fun. My mom was also in the call, and it was fun for them and me to kind of have that experience together, you know, and for my dad to see the names that he was looking for specifically on the wall and to have him kind of share some stories at that time I hadn't heard yet.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was a really good experience. And then just going around, I went over to the National Law Enforcement Memorial, which was really interesting. Went over to the Korean War Memorial, which, holy crap.
Dude, that is
a legit memorial,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, it is super creepy, too, the first time. If you don't know how they built it, the first time you're walking around it, you're like, what? Because no matter where you're standing looking at that, you can see the face of a soldier.
Yeah.
Regardless of angle, sunlight, doesn't matter. Yeah. There's always a set of eyes watching you.
That was an amazing memorial. Like, so I actually finished the Vietnam Memorial. I went over to Lincoln, and I was walking back. And I'm like, what is that over there? And why is that not as big of a deal as, like, it's some of the other memorials?
New.
You know, I mean, wow, that was an incredible memorial. This whole battle formation of soldiers. I don't know how many there were. I didn't look it up or count them, but there was, I mean, well over 20. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. That was really, really cool. So You know, obviously World War II Memorial, which is a freaking huge memorial, and and you know, went over to the Smithsonian, all kinds of stuff. So if you have a chance, if you haven't been to DC, I recommend it. The cost there of going, you know, flights and hotels, I mean, was not exorbitant. It was cost effective, I felt. A lot of great history there, a lot of cool stuff to go see. The last day I was there, I had a chance to go to Arlington. That was a really special experience for me.
Yeah, I've heard I've been up there a couple of times, and I've never actually been able to make it to Arlington, but I've heard that's probably one of the most moving experiences.
It's overwhelming being there because just the sheer size of Arlington is incredible, you know? Had a chance there to do another video chat with a good friend of mine. We were able to go see one of our guys for the first time. And so that was a moving experience for us. That was a very interesting place to be, you know, went and looked up a couple other guys for another buddy of ours and, was able to do again, another kind of video chat with him and talk about his situations and him wanting to see his guys. So the whole thing was just a really great experience, you know, and Arlington was amazing. Went up, watched the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, precisely executed and just lots of respect and lots of tradition there and just really cool. You know, that was a really interesting experience. I had kind of a funny experience there at at security. So I had to cash a couple of my knives because I carry an actual blade. You know, I carry my pocket knife all the time, but I carry a fixed blade when I can't carry a gun. And I always carry it in accordance with the laws, and I know what the laws are. So I'm carrying in accordance with the laws, but you pretty much can't go into any place in D.C. Mm-hmm. with, like, any kind of weapon. And sometimes they just do a quick bag check, so it's kind of easy to secret a knife into a bag. I'm not saying to do that, okay? But if you were going to, it's not that hard. But sometimes they're going to run your bag through an x-ray. In fact, a lot of the places we went to, they're going to run your bag through an x-ray. So I had to be pretty sneaky about some of the places I stored my knives outside of buildings. There's a lot of places just outside of main doors that you can hide knives for indefinitely and then just come back and get them later. But I was going into the Arlington and I asked the guard out front, hey, man, I have a couple of blades on me. Is it going to be a problem? And they're like, I don't know. Go in and talk to the supervisor. It shouldn't be a problem. So I go in there and I said, hey, man, I've got these two blades. Like, what's that? And they're like, oh, this one's a fixed blade. Let me call over my supervisor. The supervisor comes over. He's this big, big dude. And he pulls out my clinch pick, which is what I'm carrying. And he goes, hey, this is a clinch pick? And I go, yeah. And he's like, I got one of these. And I'm like, oh. So we know some of the same people. And he's like, don't stab anybody, all right? he gives it back to me. So sometimes knowing the same people is a good thing, you know? So it's kind of nice. I'm like, oh, we got this little understanding between each other. That's nice. So, yeah. Anyway, that was kind of an interesting experience. But if you have a chance to go to D.C., go to D.C. and experience all the cool stuff about the history of our country and read the words of our founding fathers and be reminded of what they actually intended, you know? So... yeah, been doing a lot of training. We did rifle training 2 weekends ago, carbine training all weekend. We've been very busy with training for the last, you know, almost 2 weeks now solid. So staying super busy with that. Make sure if you guys haven't done any training with us, you get out. It's a good time of year to do it.
Weather is perfect.
Perfect weather for it.
Yeah, it's been great.
We've got both of those classes coming up again. We've got some field carbine coming up the 23rd of March. We've got our precision intro to precision rifle classes coming up again in April. It's a perfect time of the year to get out here and do that kind of stuff. And look, we train all summer long. We don't care. So we schedule classes all year long. But understand, if you don't want to have to train in the heat, but you want to take these classes, it's a really good time to do it. So,
yeah.
Dave, I know you did a Stop the Bleed class as well.
Yeah.
How was that? Again. What was that? Attendance still okay on that, or was it kind of small?
It's been pretty consistent. We're hitting, I think we only had 10 people or so on that one, but it's still pretty consistent. I'm not used to adjusting my own
mic. I know, you're like way over there in the corner.
Like, work with the volume.
Come closer, Dave.
Come closer. No, it was pretty good. You guys just keep coming out. I mean, they're free if you want to show up, and the chances are you're going to have an open seat, and I'm not going to turn people away. We haven't hit numbers that are going to be outrageous. So show up to it. It's good. good training. We've had a lot more parents bringing kids into it,
yeah,
which has been nice.
Yeah, I've seen
they're bringing in their younger ones. So it's a perfect intro, especially if you have kids that don't really have a great attention span.
Hey, is this mic on? Everyone says they can't hear John.
What? Well, John hasn't said much.
Is that better? John.
Can everyone hear me now?
That mic isn't going to do anything.
Well, not right now.
Can you hear me now? How about now?
Are you not being loud enough, John? So
that's apparently not.
All right.
But anyways, yeah. That was good. I had a good weekend.
And keep in mind that Stop the Bleed classes are free.
Yeah.
Right? And we do them once a month.
Yeah.
So if you want to get in on them, you can register online and you can, for a dollar, you can basically, what the dollar thing does is secures you a seat.
Yeah.
We have 20 seats. If you come in and just show up, you don't even have to pay the dollar, but you might not get a chair is basically what it is. And so for a 2-hour class, you may literally just be standing up.
Yep.
And there's some hands-on stuff there, but obviously it's a, you know, it's a 2-hour class, only so much we can do. So we generally bring supplies enough for the people who are pre-registered.
Yep.
And then we go from there. So Stop the Bleed classes. They're free, man. Freaking show up to them. All right, Redwire Gear Moment, go.
Ah, you always catch me off guard. So I had an interesting discussion this weekend at Defensive Carbine. One of the students, young 14-year-old girl, super awesome to see her out there, she was struggling to get a magazine put into her gun. I was like, well, here, let me see your mag real quick. So I grab it and I do the little thumb checky.
Mm.
No tension left at all, like 100% locked up. I'm like, okay, so I pull one out. Nope, pulled two out. She had overloaded it to 31 for one. But that kind of led to another discussion of, hey, load your rifle magazines to no 29 or less. I load all of mine to 28, right? That way I've never had a problem getting a 28 round mag in on a closed bolt. I've struggled with some, with 29 rounds, depends on the magazine, depends on the rifle, things like that. But download your rifle magazines. I've never had a big issue with it with pistol mags. So I don't really download my pistol mags, but I always, always, always download my rifle mags.
All right. So there you go. Download magazines. Makes it easier to get them in on a closed bolt.
Yep.
Also reduces the wear and tear on the feed lips.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Less tension.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Boom.
I don't know. People are having some kind of audio problems. What the hell?
Yeah, it's coming from your computer then.
All right. We may have to get a standalone. Since we're going to use this one, we may have to get a standalone for this.
Yeah,
we can.
All right. I don't know why it wouldn't work.
I don't know either.
Can you hear us now?
Do you have the mic switch from that to that?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. So, I don't know. Sorry, guys, if you have any audio problems, we're going to keep doing our best for our... We switched to a different computer for our audio. Normally, we use this computer just for the comments, and then we use the other computer for the actual video.
Mm-hmm.
So because we have some different audio situations going on, we kind of got to tell it or change it. Sounds like you're in the back of a tin can. Well, that's just John's voice.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
We'll keep messing around with it. I don't know. We'll keep messing around with it. Hopefully it'll work. But if all else fails and you guys are having a hard time on today's live show, feel free to jump on the podcast or the iTunes or the Spotify after the show, because that'll be the remastered audio that comes directly from our microphone. So during the show, what some people may not know, here's an interesting little sidetrack for a second. What some people may not know is we have the microphones up during the show, but that is actually not what we use.
Yeah, it's super weird.
So the microphones are only used for the Podbean, iTunes, and Spotify.
Maybe we should get a third mic to hook to your laptop.
Well, we had thought about that before with that computer, but that computer seemed to have maybe a better mic than this one does. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because we never had any problems with that one.
True.
So anyways, we'll just so you guys know, when these mics are up, they're actually not being used for the Facebook Live. They're only being used for the after podcast, Podbean, Spotify, iTunes.
The recorded side.
The recorded actual side. Mm-hmm. And then that's edited so that after the show, the guys sit there and they check and make sure volumes are correct. And then they add the intro music and the outro music and all that kind of stuff. And then they publish it onto that so that that audio is perfect.
Yep.
The audio on our Facebook Live is kind of touch and go. Yeah. Because it's based on the computer microphone, which apparently on this is not as good as that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I don't know why that is.
That doesn't make
Doesn't make any sense at all. But that's something to look at. Homework assignment. All right. We looked at it before.
Well, it's weird because you've done that for your live for the alumni group.
Yeah.
It's worked just fine. It's the same setup.
Yeah, I don't know.
Super weird.
Well, whatever. Keep giving us feedback, though, guys. If something we do improves or not during the Facebook Live, let us know so that we can know, hey, we have to set it up like this if we're going to change our setup a little bit. It's no big deal for us.
Maybe if John sits on your lap.
Okay, so John, right here, big boy. Right here, yeah. Right here. Right here, guy. Oh, my God.
I'm not going to fit under the table, bro.
All right.
Your legs are too muscly.
All right. Did you feel that hard thing? That actually wasn't my leg.
See, I know you're lying.
No. I get excited. I sit on my lap, man.
Prosthetic?
Yeah, it's my prosthetic.
That's what I thought. Man.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about realistic EDC or everyday carry. And we've got some ideas here on what we're going to be talking about. But this show, for whatever reason, gets requested a lot. People see a lot of EDC pocket dumps and stuff like that on the good old social media, Instagram, where people
are
like,
let's find a really good example.
I carry two guns and backup mags and three knives and my chapstick and my watch and my Cubaton, and then I've got my, you know, my wallet, and then inside my wallet, I've got that survival credit card, and then I can make fish hooks out of that, and then inside my belt, I carry, you know, two handcuff keys and three shims and a lockpick set, and then in my sock, and I'm like, holy
shit.
Get
out of town.
So here's the problem with all that kind of stuff, in my opinion.
Don't forget the rat's tourniquet through the belt.
Also, I've got a rat's bungee cord wrapped around in my belt line. In case I need to strap down a load real quick. You got a good one? Holy damn. And that's not even that bad a one.
Yeah, that's not that crazy.
Yeah, that's not even bad.
That's a lot.
So that's a lot of stuff. But here's the reality. Let's just take my trip to DC as an example.
Oh, there we go.
Right?
Perfect.
What's that? You got a better
one?
There
we go.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that one includes the little backpack, though, too.
Yeah, you got a little, fanny pack.
Every day you're carrying that?
Got a little fanny pack.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And no one can see that. Hey, can you see this really far away? Even if I do this, it's still not enough. Can you see that? It's a lot of shit.
Go Gadget Arms.
All right. So here's the issue. It's like, let's just take a look at, for example, my trip to D.C., right? I go to D.C., how am I going to get into any of these places with all that stuff?
You're not.
I'm not. Like, I have to go. Literally, you have to go through metal detectors and get wanded the majority of places I go. My backpack, as I already mentioned, had to go through x-ray machines most of the time. So I'm in my nation's capital. I want to go see some cool historic things. And if I pull the traditional, well, if you're not going to let me bring my XYZ in here, I'm just not going to come in. And they're like, okay.
Right. Bye, Felicia.
They don't care. You know what I mean? You're not teaching them a lesson. So if I'm going to go into those kinds of places, I got to understand, like, literally every time I went in, it was a process for me. Because I'm like, I got to take my two knives and I got to freaking hide them somewhere out here without anybody seeing what I'm doing. Not because I'm worried about doing something wrong, but because I want someone to steal my shit while I'm inside the museum, right?
Hey, you, what are you doing in the bushes over there, guy?
The bushes. Why are you burying something in the bushes there? But, you know, it's like there's that, even just that was a pain in my ass, man. You know, and then I got to take my belt off, and then I'd have to take my coat off and stuff in my backpack and make sure it was a process. And especially on the one day where I was just kind of doing the touristy stuff, I mean, I was in and out of probably five or six of those places. Like every single time I went in, it was this whole deal I had to do. And if I had handcuff keys in my socks and all that kind of stuff, dude, it's even
false
more.
Bottoms in your shoes.
Yeah, it's like it's even more that I'm going to have to do. And I appreciate why people are doing what they're doing. They want to be prepared. Out of everybody, we understand that whole preparedness lifestyle. We live it. We understand it. We promote it. But there definitely comes a limit of what are the realities that we're actually going to be encountering. Like, I thought we did pocket dumps just to trip out the Brits. Yeah, that's true.
Hashtag knife free.
Yeah, hashtag no knives. All right. So there's that whole thing to consider is how is all this stuff going to affect my life? Like, I'll give you an example. My everyday carry includes my pistol, an extra mag, my knife, my wallet, my phone, my chapstick, and my good belt, right? And my med kit, right? Yeah. And I guess my flashlight. And also my hat. And maybe my sunglasses, right?
And your fidget spinner.
And my fidget spinners. So it's like I already carry a lot of stuff, but the way that I carry it, last night I came home from training. I was very tired, right? Mm-hmm. And I was hanging out with my little guys. And I was able to lay down on the couch and snuggle up to him because it's been a couple days since I'd seen him for training and go to sleep, you know? And I fell asleep on the couch totally comfortable with all my stuff on, right? Because I've got the right equipment that's very comfortable for me. So if you can carry all that stuff and be comfortable and it doesn't affect your lifestyle, then good on you.
On the same note as being comfortable, is what you're carrying limiting you as far as mobility and being agile?
Right.
Because that picture that we just pulled up and plenty that you can pull up on the internet,
yeah,
guarantee it's filling your pockets and it's going to slow you down.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to be able to move efficiently. If someone reaches out and grabs a hold of you, if you're trying to resist someone grabbing you, if you're trying to fight back against someone, God forbid you get involved in a upside down vehicle accident where your vehicle's a little busted up and you're trying to crawl out of there and you got all this crap that's kind of weighing you down and you can't get rid of it. It's getting stuck on things. It's like there's a lot of things that you have to kind of think about when you're attaching all this stuff to your body. And you know, mobility and agility certainly come into play. Just the reality of having to do it. Like
comfort for me.
Comfort.
Like, I am super particular about what goes in my pockets. Like if I have more than a couple of extra pieces of change, it irritates me. Yeah. And it irritates me all day.
Yeah. I think that the thing is you have to look at the reality of what your EDC, your everyday carry, really is going to include. Like for me personally, my everyday carry always starts with my clothes.
Yes.
Are they appropriate for the environment that I'm going to be in? I'll reference again because it's a trip and it requires some extra thinking, you know, just being in DC. Mm-hmm. It was like 30 degrees there every day, all freaking day, right?
Yeah. It
was freaking cold. So,
and probably windy.
And windy. It was cold and windy all day, every day I was there. Yeah, I think the highest it got was like 40. One day the sun came out and it was like 40 degrees. The rest of the time it was freaking cold. And even standing in the sun, it was cold because the wind's blowing. It's cold. So when I go out, first of all, no gun, no mag, because I can't even take it with me, right? So that's already a no-no. Mm-hmm. I got to think about where I'm going and I want to take this blade. What's the best way to carry it so I'm in accordance with the law, but also so that I can go into the places I want to go in. And what are some things that are not worth carrying? Like there was an extra blade sometimes that I take with me that I'm like, this isn't worth carrying. You know, yeah. I've got my one. It's my primary. I'll just stick with that. What if my primary is inaccessible? I go to my secondary. Well, my secondary is inaccessible. I go to my tertiary. It's like at some point in time, it's too much. So I just left the other one in the hotel room. And I'm glad I did because having to then cache or hide three blades instead of two, it has been a monstrous pain in the ass. It was already a pain in the ass to do two. So now I've got to start thinking ahead and like, where am I going to go today and what am I going to be doing? And I spent most of my time walking. Mm-hmm. I Ubered when I had to with the equipment that we had to use for training. But when I could just walk and go see things, I walked. And it was great because I put a lot of freaking miles down. It was good healthy stuff. And I got to see more of the city. But I'm going to be walking, which means I'm going to need different types of gear because when I'm out in the cold, it's going to be stinking cold. But then when I go into a building that they keep at 70 degrees, I'm going to have to be able to shed these layers but still carry them with me. You know, so now I got to take a backpack.
Yep.
You know, and I wanted to have my extra battery with me because my phone died a lot because I'm video chatting people and I'm, you know, taking lots of photos and videos and stuff like that. So I drained my battery normally around here. It'll last me a couple of days if I forget to charge it. But, dude, in D.C., I regularly went to my extra battery. Almost every day that I was out there, I went to my extra battery because I was doing so much stuff with my phone. So I got to carry that. I wanted to carry some water. So now I got to carry my bag, right? And now if I'm going to carry my bag, I got to think about what's in my bag that might pose some kind of a problem for me going in and out of all these secured areas. Let's make sure that's not going to cause an issue with me, right? By the way, two things, as always, that I never got questioned about. Flashlight, med kit.
Yep.
They're the two things I never get questioned about. Flashlight, med kit. Couldn't take my peanut butter on the plane. That is a no-go. Is explosive peanut butter, I guess, is a thing maybe. Is that a thing?
So that's not a thing, but on the x-rays, the way their systems work, it shows
it views the same as like a as a plastic. And it used to be, I don't know that it still is, used to be a super popular way for guys to smuggle drugs. They'd hollow out the inside of it, leave like a portion of peanut butter in there, shove some weed in it, recap it with peanut butter, and put the lid on it. Because it also throws dogs off.
Thanks, assholes, because then I had to throw my peanut butter away, all right? So I can't take my peanut butter, but I can always take my med kit and my flashlight, right? Those are the two things I still have never been denied. Went into federal buildings, right? Nobody cared about my med kit. People would look at me like, it's kind of cool. And that was about it, right? You know, look at my flashlight, whatever. Click, click, it's a flashlight, comes on, we're good, right? That's pretty much it. I never got questioned about those two things. You know, other things, blades, things like that were a potential issue. But again, mm-hmm. it's always those two items that I can fly with, do whatever no one ever questions.
Right? Now with flashlights, do you think that, you know, you see pictures of people with EDC and their flashlights with the spikes on the front?
Yeah.
Do you think that would pose an issue?
Yes. Yeah. As soon as a security agency or organization or guard or whatever is going to look at anything that could potentially be used as a weapon. You know, so if you've got some flashlight with a crenellated bezel and it's got these crazy spikes on it, it's like avoid the appearance of evil, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So my stuff doesn't look bad. My medical stuff is all high vis. It's orange and purple and it's obviously medical equipment, right? No one questions it. It's obviously medical equipment. So I avoid the appearance of evil there, right? Same thing with, you know, with my flashlight. It's just a black regular flashlight, no crazy spikes on it. Look, if you're going to hit someone with a flashlight, if you're going to start using it as a striking object, you don't need crenellated bezels. Mm-hmm. All right. Use the proper technique and your flashlight will do all the work you need it to do. A comment was they took our trauma shears off one of our tourniquets at the Smithsonian. So I went into the Smithsonian twice, no problems, 5.5-inch shears. The 5.5-inch shears continue to be a zero problem for me where I have not personally had experience with the 7.5-inch shears being an issue because I just don't take them anywhere. But I carry the 5.5-inch shears in my primary trauma kit anyway because they're smaller and they are very useful. And they continue to not be a problem. Even flying internationally with them, I've never had a problem with my 5.5-inch shears. So something to think about, right? And maybe those would be interesting. I would like to know if you're still listening, were those 7-inch shears, were they full-size trauma shears? Or were they the small ones? That would be interesting to know. Because other students that we've had who have said, hey, our shears got taken away at the Harkins Theater or some bullshit like that. It's usually like the full-size shears because they – I don't know if they're scary or what, but they're bigger. They're
afraid you're going to cut all their pennies in half.
They're assault shears. They're too much shear. Average citizens don't need that much shear, you know, or whatever. I don't know what the reasoning is, but it's too much.
Because they said so.
Because they said. And again, also a lot of times, like, they're black or whatever. It's like, dude, get shears that are orange, pink, purple. Make your stuff appear to be what it is, medical equipment. I like high-visibility medical equipment. It doesn't make me look tactical. Doesn't freak anybody out. If someone looks at my med kit, they're like, that's a bunch of medical supplies. And it, all brightly colored stuff. They don't have to think twice about it.
Word.
You know, so that's something to think about when you're going. And that's a good question about the flashlight. You know, I do think that, you know, crenellated bezels, stuff like that. It's like I'll fly sometimes. In fact, I have them in my pocket right now, my truck keys. So I have had this Kubaton, sometimes also called a Yawara, on my keychains, my truck keychain. For
well over a decade.
Oh, dude. Yeah, longer than that. I mean, I think I got it shortly after I got out of the military. So it's been a long time. It's an all polymer plastic rod.
Yep.
It's a keychain, is what it is, right? It's also a great striking device that I've never had anyone take away from me. Because even though it kind of comes to a little bit of a point,
it's blunt
and it's not sharp, it's not stabby, it's not metal. It's very much a keychain. When people see me use it, like I always make sure if I'm walking up to a security organization, whatever, like I always take it and slide it inside my pocket like that so that the keys are hanging out. Because then when I pull it out, it's like, oh, yeah, that's just my keychain. Mm-hmm. People have looked at it before and been like, that's an interesting keychain. It's like, yeah, it's just an easy way for me to hold on to my keys and, you know, store them in my pocket. Because I do that a lot. You guys have seen me do it, where I slide it into my pocket. It's like I've never been denied this thing. It's not a scary looking thing.
Right.
It's an incredibly, incredibly effective tool, but it's not scary looking. So a lot of it is your perception is reality, right? I think it was a training issue, but lesson learned for us. They weren't a problem anywhere else. guards the Constitution, Arlington, other vital places, all recognize them. Interesting. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the other issue with anything you're trying to potentially get through security is it's an individual problem. Like that guy at Arlington, when they called him over as a supervisor, like, yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not acting like a jerk. I walk in there with both my blades in my hand to security, and I'm like, hey, before I even put my bag in the scanner, I don't want you guys to find these, because then it's like, oh, are you trying to hide these from us, right? So I walk up to security, and I'm like, hey, man, I have these two blades. What can I do with them? Do you guys have a place to store them or something like that? And they were like, the folding blade's not really a problem for us. Let me ask my supervisor about the fixed blade. Call supervisor over. He happened to recognize it. Maybe if he wouldn't have recognized it,
it might have been an issue.
It might have been a problem, and I would have been outside hiding in the bushes. But it's like the reality is – so one of the security guards is kind of funny. Over at one of the Smithsonian's, I went in and I had not seen that they had like a no weapons thing. But then when I stepped in, I saw they had the scanners. But now you're in. Right. And security's looking at you. So if you see the scanners and turn around and walk out, there's a perception there. So again, I just walked up to the guard and I said, hey, I've got a couple of pocket knives that I carry around with me, right? I'm an out of state tourist. And I was just wondering if they would be allowed in here. And she goes, well, is it over 2 inches? And I go, what pocket knife is not over 2 inches? And she goes, well, we can't allow anything over 2 inches here. I'm sorry. And I go, okay, can I like leave my bag with you guys? You have a storage locker. You know, sometimes they'll do that. And she goes, look, we don't have anything on site, but I can't tell you what to do with them outside. And I'm like, got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I walk out. I walk back in like 2 minutes later, and she's like, hey, come on over. You know what I mean? She just processes me through. Doesn't say anything about it. She knows what I did. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't care, right?
Yep.
So perception's a big deal with a lot of these folks. And they're used to dealing with it, you know? yeah, the comment is evidently the bushes all over D.C. are a great place to hunt for gear. Yeah. But let me tell you what. It wasn't just the bushes. I would give away some of my very – crafty places. I'll tell these guys after the show where I hid some things. But let me tell you what. You can hide a lot of shit in very plain sight. All right?
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of people walked right past my stuff every time I had to hide it outside a building. It wasn't always the bushes. But hundreds of people walked past my stuff directly. Probably stood next to it. Damn near stood on it. And had no idea that it was there. There are 1,001 places to hide things, right?
You just give a homeless guy $1 and tell him to hold on to your shit.
Whatever, dude. It's totally worth $1 for him to run off. But I did have some great conversations with a homeless guy. Mucking in D.C. is phenomenal because, yeah, there was a lot of homeless people. Dude, they literally, there's like tents set up in places. They have like whole little villages going on. But I was walking by this homeless guy, and he was drinking this like plastic vodka bottle, and he throws it on the ground. And just kind of stands there and being crazy guy. And I go, I give him some distance, you know. I go, hey, man, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah. And I go, hey, dude, what inspires you to throw shit on the ground? And he goes, I'm just keeping it there. And I go, oh, do you store your stuff here? And he's like, well, yeah. And I'm like, oh, cool. So we can center on this conversation, right, of me just being like super cool with him about he's littering, right? And eventually it didn't go anywhere. Not like I expected it to, but eventually I'm like, all right, man, that's cool. I got to get going. Don't follow me. And and so it was fine. He went his own way. But mucking in D.C. is a blast. Yeah. And people yell at you. You know what I mean? It's fun to yell back. You know, it's not what they expect. And so it's tons of fun. You know, I walk past a corner and this homeless lady sitting right on the edge of this rock wall. I totally didn't see her because she's around the corner. Boom, I bust around this corner. She just flat out starts yelling at me about random shit that has nothing to do with me. So I just turn around, start yelling back, and it was a good time. That's a good time, man, to engage with crazy people. Stood outside the tax court and yelled, taxation is theft. That was a lot of fun, too. So I do my taxes this week, so I always hate that.
Oh, my God.
Whatever, man. It's a free country, right?
You're right.
First Amendment and all
yeah,
that.
Sure.
First Amendment. We're a free country with over 20,000 laws on the books, you know? Freedom!
Ish.
Ish. Freedom asterisk.
Hey.
see fine print.
But, some restrictions may apply.
So anyway, back to the other thing, right? And that has a lot to do with footwear, too.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah.
What am I wearing? Like, if it's going to rain today, I'm going to put some waterproof shoes on, you know, especially if I'm out on on foot, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be hiking, if I'm going to be moving over a lot of varied terrain, I'm going to wear appropriate footwear. If I know I'm going to be on my feet a lot, I'm going to wear appropriate footwear. I mean, it's everything. The way you layer your clothing, especially this time of year when it's colder, you know, not getting warmer now around here, yeah. but still very cold in other places. The way I layer, how easy is it for me to adjust? You know, when I take a layer off, what does the next layer say about me, right? Like when I go places, what is my clothes going to say about me? That's another kind of EDC thing for me is what does my clothing tell other people about me? You know, if I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., for example, I'm going to dress like everyone else dresses, right? A lot of puffy coats there, so I wore a black puffy coat. You know, my under layer was a real basic hoodie, just a gray hoodie. You know, and then under that was my normal, you know, my normal clothes. So it's like that way, if I'm shedding layers, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to take some of my great camo gear because it's really good warm or cold weather gear. But now I got to wear camo all over DC. That's not the image I want to portray. You know, people I saw that were in camo other than homeless people, service members. That was it. The service members yeah. I saw cruising around town. That was it. Right. Other than that, nobody's wearing camo. So I'm not going to take gear. That's going to be camo.
Khakis and slacks and
yeah.
dress clothes. Like,
yep.
God.
Yep.
God bless America. Everybody wears a suit. My nice jeans
and a nice set of freaking, you know, nice set of kind of dressy type khaki pants that are a little more kind of functional, but not totally yeah, yeah. dress pants. Easy day. I blend in no problem, right? You know, wear my ball cap, sunglasses if I need to. Don't wear my Vortex hats. Didn't wear any of that. Just wore my...
Asymmetrics
hat quite a bit because it's super low pro, just a tan cap with a very small logo that doesn't really make any sense to most people. So
yeah.
that's perfect, right? I'm just nice, low pro cruising through life and don't get noticed. Even though I'm by myself, nobody really paid attention to me, you know? So that's, again, it's what are my clothes going to say about me? Are they functionally going to work for me today? And what are they going to say about me? Anything to add on clothes there, John?
Don't wear flip-flops.
No flip-flops. That's my thing with clothes, period, man. If you're doing anything other than hanging out at your hotel by the swimming pool, don't wear flip-flops. If you have a nice pair of sandals and the weather's appropriate, wear a nice pair of sandals. Just make sure they're not flip-flop style sandals. It's a personal thing. It bothers me. Mm. It bothers me a lot. That's all I got to say about that.
Question, how would I dress going to Vegas?
However you want, literally.
Yeah, kind of however you want. But typically when I go to Vegas, either recreationally or professionally, because we do go there professionally a couple times a year, I go business casual when I go to Vegas because I'm going to blend in really easy business casual. Now, what yeah. I mean business casual is like a nice pair of jeans,
yeah.
usually like my Skecher shoes or my nicer looking low-cut hiking shoes, you know, like my Salomons or something that kind of blend in real easy. You know, don't make it look like I'm some outdoorsy guy, but definitely wearing functional footwear that's comfortable.
Yeah.
That, like a nice set of jeans and like a polo or a button-up shirt. You know,
that's pretty much how I dress all the time.
Anyway. I mean, I dress that way a lot anyway, but I avoid bright colors. I avoid anything that's going to draw attention to myself. Again, I won't wear gun hats. Any place that's not like a big gun community, I'm not going to wear a gun hat to. You know, even Vortex. This is a logo that people may not know, like the hat I'm wearing right now. But not everyone's going to know that. For the people who do, I just don't want to deal with it, right? So, you know, I'll wear a cap that, again, like my Asymmetrics cap or my Hill People Gear cap. Very basic, very, very bland. Yeah. You're just sad you don't have one. Yeah. Did you do the challenge? Did you do Chris's kettlebell challenge?
No.
Well, that's why you don't fucking have one.
Oh, now I know.
No, we fucking told you that.
No,
don't you start
didn't.
With
I didn't
me.
Know that because no. I want one of those hats.
Yeah. Adele's like, well, you want to know? And then he looked at you and said, Dave wants to know. And you both laughed and walked
away. All right. Well,
I guess he
well, get, you got to get your ass a 105-pound kettlebell.
I made the mistake of wearing this hat to out of Africa.
Oh, dead animal hat?
Like, well.
You're like, I like to kill animals.
I'm a dog trainer. Yeah. Dog rolling over.
I'm here scouting. Just scouting.
This is
for good
way cheaper
positions.
Than going to Africa.
Yeah. This is a cheap African safari, man. It's like $20 a head.
It's funny that they have a shooting range right next to that place.
They do, that indoor shooting range. John and I know that place well.
Yeah, we do.
We've got a long history with that place, an interesting one, too.
Yeah, buddy.
But, anyways, yeah, so that's how I would dress. I would dress. Not to normal. Attract attention, right? Obviously, we're talking to a lady. I'm guessing based on Lindsay is probably a lady's name. But if you're a guy, don't get offended. I know it can be a guy's name too. Probably a lady. I don't know. Let me see. Oh, God. Now I got to look. Oh, now I'm all
something. Now you're all concerned.
How's it spelled?
L-I-N-D-S-E-Y.
S-E-Y?
Yeah.
Mm. Could be.
It's kind of like the Mustang. Could be a chick car, could be a dude car.
Mm. Hard to say.
Goes both ways.
I don't know. It's not pulling up. I think our internet's being all used up by the show, so I can't look it up. But anyway, we're going to assume it's the late. I'm not assuming your gender. All right.
Yes,
you are. You're but if you, how about this? If you're a lady, all right, how about that? We'll just say that generally. Same kind of thing, right?
For the ladies.
You know, again, jeans, slacks, whatever, good, comfortable footwear. Don't wear something that's going to click, clack, and draw attention. Don't draw something you couldn't run in if you had to get away from somebody. You know, I literally put footwear on the morning, ask myself three questions. Is it going to be wet?
Okay.
Am I going to have to run? And am I going to have to kick someone with these things? Like, that's what I think about. I'm not even kidding. Like,
I don't think I...
Is it going to be wet? Am I going to have to run? And am I going to have to kick someone with these things? Because I want to know, you know, if it's... If I'm not going to wear... Like, if I'm going someplace, for example, for a business meeting, and I'm going to have to wear my business... Like, I'm going to wear my dress shoes, my shined-up dress shoes. I typically won't wear them to the meeting. I'll put those suckers on in the lobby. You know what I mean? Because they're not that comfortable, really, to walk around in extensively. I could run in them. But they're no good if it's going to get wet. If I have to move long distance over varied terrain, it's going to be really uncomfortable to have these things. So, you know, I'll throw them in a backpack and put them on when I get there. Whatever. But that's kind of what I'm looking at is, am I drawing attention to myself by wearing this? And ladies, that's a trick for you, right? Because if you're an attractive lady, you want to draw some attention to yourself. You know, you're going to wear certain types of clothes. You're going to show off a little bit of cleavage or highlight that ass or whatever. Here's the problem. You're drawing attention to yourself. Don't be upset then when attention gets drawn to you. So if you want to draw attention to yourself, you know how to do it. If you don't want to draw attention to yourself, you know how to do that too.
Yep.
So if I'm going to go to Vegas, for example, I want to blend in with everybody else. In a business casual way, that's a good way to blend in.
Yeah, because everybody's there for business.
There's going to be a large group of people.
And if you don't want to tell people why you're there in Vegas specifically, you can always say, oh, I'm in town for the convention.
I'm in town for the convention.
Because there's literally always a convention going on in Vegas.
Always.
Yeah. And then pick one that you can talk about or one that you know no one else is going to want to talk about.
I'm here for a proctology convention.
Oh.
A butthole doctor.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, people are like, what?
Ew.
I don't know. Maybe they're interested, though. Oh, really? You're like, oh, crap.
Tell me more.
Oh, I got to go. I got to go. Guns. When it comes to guns and EDC, because, look, we're gun-toting folks, and so because we're gun-toters, we got to talk about this.
We do.
Mm-hmm. You do not need to change your gun every time you change your clothes, and you don't need to change your gun every time the season changes.
I don't understand why people do that. I have one gun. I have literally carried one gun and one gun only for almost 5 years. And I've carried it in the same place, and I'm also only using the second holster ever for that gun.
I have two guns. I have two guns because in business attire that I have to tuck in my shirt, have a tie, go to a funeral, go to church, something like that, I can't carry my normal Glock 19. It's just too big.
Right. Yep.
So a shield
is
what I carry when I do that. So I do have two guns. I carry that maybe 5% of the time. I train with it appropriately, but it's carried in the same location.
Mm-hmm.
My backup magazine is carried in the same location.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to change it, right? You don't need to change your guns all the time. I'm going to carry this gun today, that gun tomorrow. Sometimes I carry this gun when I dress like this. I dress to, you know, I pick which gun based on how I'm dressed, and it's like, I kind of dress so that I can carry the gun. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much it on guns.
That's it, man.
We're
messing with your shit. And carry an extra magazine. If you got a full-sized gun and you don't carry an extra magazine, okay. Like if you're carrying 15 to plus rounds, whatever, you're probably going to be okay. I mean, at this point, you're rolling the dice, right? Assuming that a magazine isn't only for, you know, reloads, malfunction clearances, balance out the carry load, all that kind of stuff, a good striking object. If you carry a little gun, like a Glock 43 or a Shield or some little pocket
something
pistol.
Something 10 rounds or less.
Yeah, you need to carry an extra magazine. If you don't think you're going to need more rounds, or the guy behind the gun counter is like, man, if you need more than six rounds, you need more over your head or whatever the fuck he said. All right, it's stupid. All right, that dude's never been in a gunfight. And if he was, it was one, right? And it was, you know, irrelevant. It's anecdotal experience at best. So when you look at overall, people are going to fire a minimum of, you know, 3 to 5 rounds per assailant. So that's 3 to 5 rounds per assailant. there's two people involved and you have seven rounds. I went to public school, but I'm telling you, that math, that's pretty simple, right? That means I'm going to need more bullets, mm-hmm. right? So carry an extra magazine. If you don't, then understand that when you're out, you're out, and now you are out of options. That gun is no longer an option, right?
They make good hammers.
Yeah, I mean, I can use it as a bludgeon tool. There's other stuff I can do. It's not that I'm going to die. That's not what I'm saying. You're out of options for that gun. It's out of ammunition.
No more bang.
It's no longer a projectile device. You need to explore other things. So I can't really think of anything else to say about guns and carrying
EDC.
No. Medical equipment is kind of a no-duh for us. You should definitely absolutely carry some kind of medical equipment. Now, I don't really care what kind of medical equipment it is. Obviously, we're carrying AFACs or pocket kits or things like that. We're pretty big into medical. The big reason we're into medical is because I use my kit a lot. Like, I actually use my kit a lot.
Yeah.
I have done everything from duct tape people's fingers shut to bandage some pretty major wounds at the beach, to handle a couple vehicle accidents with my stuff, to fix my own self. Like that time I sliced the holy hell out of my hand on that steel target. And then that dude was on Instagram and he's like, nice fake blood. And I'm like, trust me, bro. I grew that shit. It's real. It hurts a lot. But there's like blood like just running out of my hand. And, I used it. I'm 1,000 yards, literally 1,000 yards, down a canyon changing targets for an upcoming class and just laid my freaking hand open. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty gnarly.
I didn't have anything else, but because I had my AFAC, I'm able to pull out, just use the basic bandage. I didn't need any blood clot or tourniquets or anything like that. But
tourniquet the thumb!
Just needed my basic bandage, but it gave me the pressure that I needed to help stop the bleeding quickly and the control and comfort so I could continue doing my job because I still needed to move some targets and then get back to my truck and then I could treat the wound a little bit more appropriately. But, it didn't shut me down. Because without anything to do to help with it, it would have shut me down. Mm-hmm. I've used it for my kids. I've used it for my friends. Dude, I have used it for random strangers. I was walking through the park. It's been probably a month or so ago. I had gone to a meeting and parked there. And there was a nice park. And I finished the meeting. I'm like, I just want to go walk around that park for a minute before I go back to my truck. And there's this runner, this person who had been running. And they're sitting on this bench. And they've got their shoes off. They're airing out their feet from running. I get it. But I'm looking at him, I'm like, hey, man, are your feet okay? And he's like, dude, I just got this new pair of shoes and I'm trying to break him in and he's killing it. He has this monster blister. Ooh. And I'm like, I could actually help you with that if you want, And he was like, really? And I go, yeah, this is going to seem maybe weird to you, but I'm about to pull a med kit off my ankle and I'm going to pull out like moleskin and duct tape for you. And he was like, get the fuck out of here, And I was like, yeah, man, I can totally help you out right now.
Nice.
And it was a way to help our fellow man, So I've used my med kit. Times I've shot people.
Zero.
With my CCW gun, I've shot people exactly zero times. Times I've used my med kit, countless. And I've used it literally I use it all the time. So carry med supplies.
So that actually brings up another interesting point that I don't know that a lot of people think about is there was a discussion on the Facebook alumni page about carrying at the gym, like that, right?
Carrying a gun?
Yeah.
I don't carry a gun at the gym.
I don't carry a gun at the gym, but I go running fairly regularly mm-hmm. in a place with my wife and my kids. And other people go running fairly. Fuck off.
I don't think it.
You guys can all fucking kiss my ass. All right? So I do go out of doors and do physical things and play at playgrounds with my kids, not wearing jeans, wearing like workout clothes.
No pants at the playground, got it.
No pants at the playground. Always wear shorts. Always wear shorts. So it's an interesting thing to think about is if you carry a gun all the time, do you carry it when you run?
Mm.
How do you carry it when you run? Mm. Do you have the appropriate fanny pack, which, depending on your opinion of fanny packs, sure. It's the most effective way to carry a gun if you're going to run.
Could be, yeah. I like to help you with your pouches, yeah.
Yeah, the chest rig, which I'm actually going to start using, the new one that I've done. I got to go get the right pouch for it and start running with that.
Yeah.
But it's something that I don't think a lot of people think about, and I don't generally... So we have a stroller cause one of my little dudes still isn't able to run more than 100 yards at a time.
Right.
So in the stroller, we'll put a trauma kit and then we'll have a boo-boo kit. And I've used the boo-boo kit a ton at the park, with the kids and other people's kids. And it's simple stuff. I don't understand why people don't carry simple things like that around with them.
They don't.
But it's just, it's something else to think about if you are an active person. You know, are you going to carry these things? How are you going to carry these things effectively when you're not doing normal stuff? Like when you're out running, if you're at the gym, if you're out hiking on a trail, it, you know, just random things that happen sometimes. Like, are you still going to carry these things? What are you going to carry and how are you going to carry them?
Yeah. Even when I run, I carry a flat pack bandage and a flat pack tape.
Yeah.
I've used the tape so many times and get out there, start running, get a hot spot, something like that. It's nice to be able to just sit down for a second, especially if you're doing interval training, you're going to take a break anyway. Sit down, boom, pull off your shoe, wrap your toe in duct tape or something. That way it doesn't ruin your run, man. Yep. Or you don't come home with a giant freaking blister. And then I've just got one of those flat pack H&H bandages. I just literally just put them in my waistband. You know, my flashlight goes here. My med kit goes here. My gun goes in the normal position in a small Remora holster.
Mm-hmm.
Easy day. So freaking easy. And then run. It's not any extra weight. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't wiggle around. Doesn't fall out. It's like, dude, get one of those chest rigs, you know, the Hill People gear rigs like what I've got. I don't always use it for running. I use it for trail running. Yeah. I don't use it for road running. I just don't. I don't really have a great reason for not doing it, but I don't. When I put that rig on, dude, I can put everything in there. I can put snacks in there. It's a big enough freaking rig. I can put whatever I want. I can have my gun, my med kits, my snacks, light. I put my phone in there, whatever. So, again, it's like, dude, carry stuff. You don't have to carry all the same stuff all the time, but look at EDC from like, what am I trying to accomplish here? You know, like what am I trying to accomplish?
Oh,
if I want, if I'm going to go running, I might need a little bit of med supplies. Mm-hmm. Now when I'm going trail running, I wear the bigger kit because dude, I mean, I might fall and hurt myself really badly.
Yeah. You can get super screwed up falling down on some trails.
Yeah. You roll off a hill, fall in some cactus onto a rock, whatever. I mean, do you hurt yourself pretty bad? So I'm going to carry some more supplies. You know, I mean, that's something that you got to think about. So med gear, obviously we're fans of it. You should freaking carry it. We're literally giving away an EDC med kit this month for our contest. We're pretty big fans of it.
True story.
Now, the last thing that we'll kind of mention before we wrap the show up is the line idea.
Yeah. So like your first line, second line, third line. So first line is generally on body. Second line would be like in a pack. Something that you could take off and set down. And third line, for me, I've always kind of looked at it as like in my vehicle.
Mm.
Right? So I have the normal things that I carry on my person every day. And then I have things that I always carry in my backpack. I have like an extra day or two of my meds because I have a couple of prescriptions that I take. Usually I have some snacks. There's some extra medical equipment because I don't always carry med equipment on my body. Mm. I should. I don't always do it. And then there's more of the same things in my vehicle in larger quantities.
Mm.
Like ever since I discovered the Hydro Flask or the insulated bottle, one of these has basically been attached either to my hand or my backpack for going on like 4 years now.
Mm.
This is part of my EDC now.
Mm.
And it's not always convenient to carry, but I have it set up so that I can carry it wherever I go. My kids have these. My kids have small ones. You know, it's part of their EDC. You know, when we leave the house, before we pull out of the driveway, hey, do you dudes have your water bottles? No. Well, go get it. I don't want it. I don't care what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Go get your water bottle.
Yeah.
You know, so. In 5 minutes. That's kind of, yeah. Yeah, because in 5 minutes, yes, you're like, Dad, can I have some water?
My water only goes so far, man.
It's like, no, bro, you can't. You should have brought your own. So it's something to think about, and it's an easy way to expand what you can carry with you and how you can carry it. Because a lot of people carry backpacks around. A lot of business professionals carry some type of satchel or laptop bag or something like that. It's an easy place to keep some extra gear, some extra equipment that may come in handy.
So that's kind of our general idea on EDC. And, I mean, don't forget about the other stuff we carry around, like chapstick, right?
Oh, yeah.
I like naturally have dry skin, so my lips are chapped or potentially chapped like any day of the year, right?
That's because you spend all the time outside.
I also spend a lot of time outside, so that doesn't.
The SPF chapstick?
Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely.
Mine get burned all the time. Mm-hmm. If I don't have that,
yeah.
We're training.
So it's like that's going to be an EDC thing, right? Your wallet's an EDC thing. Your phone is an EDC tool. And if you're going to carry your phone as an EDC tool and it's relying on batteries, something you ought to have at least in your second or third line gear is some way to charge your phone. You know, so like I carry extra battery packs around with charging cables if I need to. I have a battery pack that actually clamps onto my phone because of the way it's designed. So that works. It just, the idea is setting yourself up
to carry the same equipment effectively and efficiently daily.
And to set yourself up for success with the most realistic situations you could potentially find yourself getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So we apologize for whatever the hell is going on with our audio apparently this week. I don't know. There's been a lot of comments about, like, is it – John looks directly towards it, but then maybe not. We're not really sure. So we'll try to get an external microphone for this thing, I think, is probably the best
option. We'll have it figured out next week.
We'll have it figured out by next week, all right? Hopefully. Remember, you guys can always bring us out to train with you. If you want hosting information, shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com. Make sure you follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, as The Arms Room, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud heroes of the – all right, proud heroes, proud members of the Heroes Media Group. We're not proud heroes. We're not even heroes, all right? Proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows that they have on the network because they got some other cool ones. Next week, we're going to be talking about summer prep and how to get your life ready for the upcoming hot weather. Yourself, your gear.
Your vehicle.
House. Your house, everything. All right, because it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, buddy.
Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.